the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we remain standing, please receive this, the living and active Word of God, our passage for our sermon today, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far the reading of God's Word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your Word to sink deeply into our hearing. We give you thanks and praise for the warm invitation through your Son. Grant us your presence among us today. May we behold the wonder of Jesus, the glory of you, O Heavenly Father, and be convicted by the presence and confirmed by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, feet to follow. For the honor of your name, we pray this through Jesus our Lord. And amen. You may be seated. This sermon will deal with something that most of us have dealt with in the past. We faced it. It's still present today, and it's something that all of us will still face in the future, and it's about Jesus. Who is Jesus? His place, his role, the importance of Jesus. Okay. Many will claim to have a relationship with God and yet do not have any relationship with Jesus. Many will claim to have a relationship with God. They'll be very spiritual, and yet they don't seem to have any relationship, or even say that they don't have any relationship with Jesus. To question that is considered offensive. To go on to say, or to even suggest that a relationship with the Father is only possible through Jesus the Son, that too is considered rude, scandalous, and unbearably arrogant. That Jesus himself said, no one knows the Son except the Father. The knowledge of the Son is even concealed in a sense. The Father is the only one who really knows the Son. Jesus also said, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son wills to reveal the Father. Jesus said that. It is not possible to have a right relationship with God the Father without a right relationship with God the Son. Our gospel reading today, we heard this. Philip asked Jesus, by the way, Philip was from Bethsaida. Note on that for in just a moment. Philip asked Jesus, "Can you show us the Father? If you show us the Father, that'll be sufficient. That's all I'm asking. Just show us the Father. I just want to know the Father." And Jesus replied that to see me is to see the Father. "Philip, have I been with you so long? You've seen me, you've seen the Father." There's this connection between the Father and the Son, and it's found throughout the Scriptures, particularly in John's Gospel. Here's one example from John chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 22 and 23. Note this. "For the Father," Jesus says, "for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Who's the judge? Jesus is the judge. He goes on, "so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Jesus does not allow any wiggle room on this at all. So, this knowing of the Father through the Son, here's the good news. It's possible. It's available. It's ready. It is revealed. It is available through the Son, who actually, in this passage, invites us to Himself. He invites all to Himself. "Come unto me, all you who labor." It's wondrous. All right. A little bit of a background. I want to give us a running start. We are in the midst of Jesus' message about Himself. He had started speaking about John. Who did you go out to see? But really, John was speaking about Jesus. So Jesus is here in the midst of a sermon of a sort about Himself. In these words of Jesus' presentation of Himself, we are taken from warning to a welcome. Okay? The larger passage, which began in verse 20 here immediately, presents to us the warning of rejecting the Son. Jesus speaks to some cities. We're going to mention that in a moment. Our immediate passage takes us to the welcome which is found in the Son. So there's the warning about rejecting the Son. Jesus will here speak about the warm welcome of receiving the Son. It's a very important passage. I think it's crystallized very nicely, very succinctly in the words of J.C. Ryle. "There are few passages in the four Gospels more important than this." It's all about the Son. It's all about Jesus. To miss the Son is to miss the Father. Would you ever dare say that to anyone? To miss the Son is to miss the Father. It's to miss God. When you reject the Son, you are actually rejecting the Father as well. John the Baptist was missed as a prophet. John's prophetic message was missed. His message was about Jesus. And when that message is missed, that meant the Messiah was missed. We don't want that guy. He's got demons. That was, Jesus says, an out-of-tune generation. They were, in a sense, they were tone-deaf. They were busy with their own expectations, busy playing their own tunes. This is how Jesus, he referred to them this way. This is what they're saying. "You know what? We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We mourned for you, and you didn't lament. You didn't even join in with us." This is because John and Jesus did not fit their preconceived notions, their expectations. John, he didn't fit their expectations. He was too severe. That prophet was too severe. He did not eat or drink. He was too unlike us. We couldn't even relate to him. Jesus didn't fit with their expectations either. He was too regular. Jesus did show up eating and drinking. And you know what they said? What kind of a Messiah is this? He's too much like us. John's too much unlike us. Jesus is too much like us. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. Jesus presents himself as the judge. We saw this last week. Weighty words. Jesus spoke severely of those who had great privileges. Weighty words of warning and woe. They were uttered upon peoples who knew Jesus. They knew where he walked. They knew his address. These were the cities and the citizens of Chorazin, Bethsaida, where Philip was from. Show us the Father. And Jesus' home base of Capernaum. Now, we might have been shocked by the severity of Jesus' words. You remember what he said? Remember, our passage is going to take us from warning to welcome. You remember what Jesus said? He said that it would be more tolerable for those ancient and judged cities of Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom than for the regional local cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. What? We know what happened to Sodom. You mean to say, Jesus, it's worse for Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum? Those ancient cities were leveled. They were obliterated. Something worse is going to come upon the cities and the peoples where Jesus' presence was found? What could be worse? You know what's worse? Ignoring the Son. You know what's worse? Ignoring Jesus. Note, greater privilege leads to greater responsibility. Greater light means there's less of an excuse. The living room is dim. It's early in the morning. We haven't clicked on many lights, and someone goes through and trips on something. There's a bit of an excuse for that. I couldn't see. But somebody walking through in a brightly lit, a brilliantly lit living room and then trips over something. What was going on? The light is present. The light of the world is present. Those cities, those are the places where most of Jesus' mighty deeds had been done. They saw the signs. They heard the sermons. They saw people changed. They didn't change. Having Jesus in your presence, perhaps even in your city, may not be a token of favor. It may compound future judgment. Jesus begins with himself as judge and speaks severe words of warning. By the way, no one could protest this way. Hey, we know what Jesus did. We were around his presence. His presence was among us. We saw his mighty deeds. We saw people walk and demons removed. We saw. And Jesus is saying, the mighty have missed it. Your mighty privileges, blindness. Now, these are weighty words. It's weighty walking through this passage. And any one of us with a shred of tenderness, any one of you with a shred of tenderness senses that you, that we are rather undone. We're coming apart at the seams. Look at the great privileges we have. And what have we done with those privileges? We pick and we pick and we poke even at people for whom Jesus died. And we're the whole time we're supposed to look to Christ. Any of us with a shred of a tender conscience, we're undone by these words. We have been given much. We know of our own failings and fallings and faithlessnesses. We are guilty. What hope is there? Wondrously, Jesus gives an invitation. You broken ones, come. You who have fallen, come. You who are exhausted and worn out, I will give you rest. Our Lord speaks this way. He starts with a prayer. It's as Jesus speaks of the weighty words of judgment, and then he immediately, like this, goes into prayer. He's in communion with his Father. Look what he says in verse 25. I thank you, Father. Lord of everywhere, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to babes. Even so, it seemed good in your sight. You do all things well. Who misses it? The mighty miss this. One of these cities had as a city slogan, "We're exalted." And Jesus says of Capernaum, "You're going to be brought down to Hades." It's the humble that will receive this. You've revealed this to babes. Who are we? Our God is a revealing God. This is the good news. Are there mysteries in the Christian faith? Absolutely. And our Lord reveals them. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Pride. Pride hamstrings our care about revelation. Pride blinds us to the revelation of the Son. Pride blinds us, deafens us to the revelation of the Father through the Son. Pride causes us to do this. I have other things to do. We need the humility to receive, but many do not want to go low. Many do not want to lower themselves to Jesus. They'll say, "I want to know God, but I don't want to go through Jesus." Again, J.C. Ryle, "Jesus, He bears the keys. To Him we must go for admission into heaven. He is the door. Through Him we must enter. He is the faithful shepherd. We must hear His voice and follow Him if we would not perish in the wilderness. He is the physician. We must apply to Him if we would be healed from the plague of sin. He is the bread of life. We must feed on Him if we would have our souls satisfied. He is the light. We must walk after Him if we would not wander about in darkness." Verse 27. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." Jesus says this. "And no one knows the Son except the Father." There's some people saying, "You know, I know Him." Well, the Father only knows Him perfectly. "Nor does anyone," Jesus say, "know the Father except the Son and those and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." Professor Frederick Dale Bruner wrote on this verse and said this: "These words are very exclusive and perennially offensive." He says, "This is the offense of the cross, the scandal of particularity, and the affront to all other religions, the wound to all human spiritual sensitivity and intellectual power. Yet the church must simply carry this offense around with her as part of the cross if she wishes to be faithful to the revelation given her by the Son." That was Professor Bruner. The warnings are all about the Son. The welcome, it's all about the Son. How do I know the Father? How do I have a relationship? It's all about the Son. The warnings are weighty. The welcome is warm. Oh, and Christians need to learn how to follow Jesus in this. Ministers need to learn how to follow Jesus in this. It's so, we have a tendency to go wrong, wrong, wrong. What does our Lord do? Come. Those who feel as if they have it all together, "Hey, I'm righteous." Jesus says, "I didn't come for the righteous. I'm worthy." No. I came for the sick ones. Those who are well, they don't need the physician. Those who feel as if they have it all together, any one of us, you know what, we're not going to hear this. So let's conclude with our Lord's invitation. We've been in the gospel. We need to be in the gospels more. We need the gospels in us. The last three verses, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus call for people to do? Yes, he calls for people to do something. If we have ears to hear, if we are humbled and not busy exalting ourselves, what are we called to do? Look at verse 28. Jesus says, come to me. Look at verse 29. Verse 29. Take my yoke. Also in verse 29, learn from me. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. We'll end by considering this wondrous welcome. Note the focus, first of all. What's the focus? The focus is upon Jesus. Remember, the warnings were about Jesus. The welcome is about Jesus. John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus. What does Jesus say here? He says, come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. Jesus does not say, like we would, if you're weighed down and if you're weary, burdened, overwhelmed, and crushed under your sin, go to God. Jesus does not say, for those of you who are heavy laden, oppressed, burdened, I'm going to point you to God. He amazingly says, come to me. So people immediately go, I'm offended. That's what he said. The very same one who spoke such powerful words of warning is now saying, come to me. I am here. I will provide for you. And if we exalt ourselves, we're going to go, I don't believe that. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to pay attention to Jesus. I'll bear his name as long as it's convenient. You know what else Jesus says? No, what he says here, come unto me, all you who labor, every one of you. You know, we've become so, If you get to the point where you understand this, then come to me. Jesus, all of you, any one of you, each of you, all of you, come to me. Don't let your doubts, don't consider your doubts to be stronger than the Savior. Because you know what we'll do? We'll go, I just don't know that he can receive me. I doubt, and I've got this fog. No, don't let your doubts be considered stronger than the Savior. Come, Jesus says. And by the way, take note. Next, look at what Jesus provides. So, the focus is on him. He says to all, but note what Jesus will provide. His invitation takes care of restlessness, loneliness, and confusion. By the way, look around. Look around. Note the frantic and the frustrated, the anxious, those with anxiety and those marked by rage, quick offenses triggered on this. I need a safe space. The readily offended. Who is restless? Yes, we tend to hear more about this because of social media these days. But who is restless? Who is lonely? Who is wandering? By the way, restlessness, loneliness, and confusion have always been of the three great weights upon people. No peace, aloneness, and wandering about with confusion. And Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest. Your restlessness will be gone. Take my yoke, your loneliness is going to be dealt with. And learn from me, I will teach you. your confusion will go. Now, by the way, it's not just this generation with social media. It is odd that people will post, state, proclaim their restlessness. I'm all restless. They'll post because of their loneliness. Did you notice me? Or they'll post their confusion. And Jesus the whole time is saying, come to me. I'll take care of your restlessness and your loneliness and your confusion. What you should be posting is the Son. The Son is the one who has given me peace. The Son is the one with whom I have, in whom I have community. And the Son is the one who gives me guidance and direction. By the way, if you ever were to meet someone who came to you and said, you know what, I'm restless, I'm lonely, or I'm confused, what would you do? What would you say? Would you say, let's go to the Gospels? Would you do that? Would you say, let's go to Jesus together? Amazingly, our Lord, who knows all things have been handed over to Him by the Father. He knows of your restlessness. He knows of your loneliness. And He knows of your wandering about. Would we dare hear Him? He will provide rest. Very simply, let me just go through this. To the labored and to the heavy laden, to the restless, Jesus says, come to me. Is your restlessness because of your sin? Because of the sins of others? Because of you don't know what it's there for? Go to Jesus. Welcome. By the way, without any pardon, there will never be rest from your sin. How many of us believe God that He has pardoned us, but we don't believe God that He still accepts us? What we've done is we've made a Messiah out of our consciences or our feelings. Well, I believe God can forgive my sins, but it's just... Is that me? Okay. We tend to think that our thoughts and our consciences are so strong. What happens is we become restless in that. By the way, rest, it is no wonder. Remember, this is all about Jesus. It's no wonder that the very next section in Matthew's gospel is about rest and restlessness, debates and deeds about the Sabbath, because there was a complete failure to see how the Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus. So what do? People argue about it. They're going to parse this word and parse that word, and there's no joy, no rest, because they're missing the Son. Then Jesus says, take my yoke. By the way, those of you who are filled with labor, burdened down, this sounds odd. I'd like you to take my yoke. What? Take my yoke? The yoke is an instrument of work. I'm filled with labor. This is surprising. But what our Lord does is He offers rest for the weary, and His rest is a yoke. A yoke. You know what this is. Certain animals will be joined together. It's an instrument of joining working animals together. Sometimes just maybe two oxen. Or maybe there's an entire team yoked together. To be yoked with another means you are no longer alone. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Companionship. Oh, the wonder of the Trinity. And yes, the Friday circle that's coming up is on about the Trinity. To Trinity, we're going, what's that all about? Just some words. No, where's community and companionship? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. You will get rest when you start working with me and with my people. Oh, well, there's more. What is a yoke? A yoke is not meant to just sit in the barn. A yoke expects to be used. It expects action. A steady, plodding, consistent, walking type of action. Christian life is called a walk. And this is all connected to the next point of the invitation. Learn from me. Those who are wandering about in confusion, our Lord provides rest for your restlessness. He provides companionship for your loneliness, and then He provides guidance for your confusion. Learn from me. You know what? We do not learn about the Son while just sitting around. We learn along the way, even through disagreements and conflict with those with whom we are yoked together. Thanks be to God. It has happened in the past. It has happened recently. It will happen again. We will not always see things eye to eye. But you know what? We love one another because we're yoked together. This is how we learn from Christ. We learn along the way as we rise up and walk along the way. We're to learn from a person, from Jesus Himself. Our relationship with Him is not to be some kind of cold, sterile list of facts and abstractions. Our Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to appoint ministers. To be among us. We are together to commune with the Son as we commune with one another. Churches are regularly fretting over renewal and vibrancy. I'm going to stop. I'm going to say something. Something I love about this congregation, and by the way, we all need to shake it up too. I love the fact that you interact with one another. Before worship, after worship, and some people may scratch their heads going, well, I kind of like to sit down and get... Fine. But no, other churches are trying to spur that on and prompt it. Get it going. Get to know one another. Keep working with getting to, not the same group, but I love seeing the vibrancy of the yoked together, peaceable interaction. Fret over renewal and vibrancy? Come to Christ. Learn from Him. By the way, may all congregations get serious about knowing Christ from His Word. A lady recently spoke to me about her concern that her children would get to know Jesus in the Gospels. And I thought, that smells like wisdom. This lady wanted to see her children spend time in the Gospels. Before Christ. But you know, when we started this, Matthew, we thought, you know what? What matters in Matthew is Advent, Christmas. What matters in Matthew is the resurrection. Well, there's only a few chapters. Right in between all of that, so all this stuff about who Jesus is and what He has done. Why is it there? Spending time in the presence of Christ by His Spirit, in the Word, in the congregation. You know what this will do? It will stifle squabbles. It will promote graciousness. It lifts my eyes from myself to my Savior. So come to Christ. Come to me, all of you who are weighed down. You will have rest. Jesus says this. Jesus also says, take my yoke. You're not alone. You're my image bearers. You're a community. And learn from me. Our Lord is a regular, faithful, consistent teacher. And I will now conclude with these words from John 6:37. And with this we end. All that the Father gives me, Jesus says, will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Let us pray.